I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You greet someone by asking how they are, and they respond with the words, "I am blessed." I'm not sure how you've reacted to that response, but for me, I get lost in my own mind, rabbit hole maze that it is, wondering what they mean by what they've just said. Does it mean everything is going exactly how they wanted it to be going? Like the prosperity gospel, do they understand their blessings to be material and tangible, and they're content with their experience of them? Or perhaps they're lucky in some kind of way, winning the lottery, being in a relationship with someone incredible, or enjoying vacation time that we all should be a little jealous of. Maybe they intend to communicate gratitude for how they've known God's blessings. As I've grappled with this language, I've come to hope that those who proclaim themselves blessed intend the literal definition, holy or set apart. Blessed as holy or set apart. I believe this is what Jesus intends when he offers us the Beatitudes. Jesus was teaching those who had gathered about God's kingdom and just how different it was than the world they knew. The world of here and now and hustle bustle, pinch and challenge of daily life. In their world, Rome was a powerhouse through all aspects of life were regulated. Taxes and temple access were regulated by the Romans or their minions, and infrastructure and permission came from the government. Most interactions with governmental officials were notoriously based on greasing of palms, patronage, and who you knew. There were the powerful with money and influence, and then the rest of us, everyone else. Even within the religious temple complex, many leaders, religious leaders, had bought in to this Roman system. So now, to hear Jesus say, listen again, you are set apart when you feel lost spiritually, and you will find glimpses of God's kingdom. You are set apart when you, like God, experience grief. You will know comfort. You are set apart when your easygoing nature is taken advantage of, and you will inherit the earth. You are set apart when the God-sized hole within you that can only be satiated by God is satisfied. You are set apart when you extend mercy and care. You will know mercy and care as well. You are set apart when your wide-eyed optimism surpasses the cynicism and pragmatism that has limited humanity's vision of fulfilling God's dream. You will see God. You are set apart when peace and reconciliation are your first priorities. You will be holy like God. You are set apart when you are belittled and people whisper behind your back for you living out your faith. You will know the fullness of that faith in God's kingdom. With this as a backdrop, Jesus' words are radical and almost unbelievable. Jesus was talking of a kingdom where the poor and the marginalized, those who mourn and hungered, would have great blessings. These blessings are in direct comparison to the opulent and lavish blessings that the Romans showered upon their leaders, the most highly regarded, the Roman governors and patrons, who with money demanded groveling and quid pro quo. They have no honor, no blessing in God's kingdom unless they repent and seek God first. I read this and couldn't help but make some comparisons to today. It's not so different. How often do we find ourselves, even subconsciously, offering praise and status, deference and regard to those with money and with power, with reputation and a smooth presentation? Rarely do we see the blessings of being at the end of our rope, of losing what is dear to us, of not being able to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians, of seeking God before all else, of having a tender heart that sometimes people step on, of doing the interior spiritual work, the difficult work of cooperation and collaboration ahead of competition, or a commitment to God that leads people to shun or talk poorly about us. I don't think many of us have found the blessings in the lowly and the disregarded, the painful and the awkward statuses that Jesus offers as blessing. We often see them as challenge and struggle. Jesus' upside down world invites us to see those as blessings. This week, after I sent out the weekly update with a sermon sneak a peek that you might get via email, I received an email back. Aaron Boyd had sent me a story I want to share with you about a coworker who was blessed to be a blessing. You might have even seen this story on the news. Aaron's colleague, Amy, a nurse, was running in the Key West Half Marathon, and she had finished with a personal best record when she saw a fellow runner by the name of Bill, who was in cardiac arrest alongside the running path. Even though she was celebrating a personal best, she quickly went to the runner in trouble and offered CPR. You can imagine the race was well staffed with emergency personnel, and someone arrived with the paddle, and Bill's heart was shocked back into rhythm. He was carried off to the hospital and is now home, recovering. Now, you and I know about this story today because Bill, as he was recovering, wanted to send gratitude to the one who had initially saved him. Amy and the other medical professionals had cared well for him. So in this day and age when you don't know someone's name or anything about them, he put a video up on Facebook, and within 24 hours, across Colorado to Wilmington, Delaware, were connected. Instinctively, it was her medical training that kicked in, and she saved someone in the right time and the right place. She's reflected that media coverage made this feel a bit more like a burden than a blessing. 1.4 million people viewed this video, but glimpsed mercy and hope. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Our actions, sometimes in the midst of pressing challenges and trials, can bless others in ways we might not have imagined and usher in the kingdom of God. Thursday was Holocaust Remembrance day. And I think sometimes we find ourselves questioning, why do we commemorate? Why do we memorialize various events? We remember so we will not relive that particular horror again. We remember to honor those who have died as well as those who lived. And where do we get this idea? 286 times in the Bible, God commands us to remember. God calls us to remember tragedy and joy, to remember the theophanies, the experiences of God, and covenant promises. We are called to remember misfortunes and blessings. As I was remembering on this particular day, I recalled a story I had heard. There was a 15-year-old young man in Auschwitz, and in the depth of winter, he and his companions were called, in fact ordered, to harvest sugar beets for the guards who kept watch of them. This young man remembered that the hunger gnawed on him as he collected these sugar beets in his threadbare pajamas. Now all of the prisoners knew they dare not take a bite of a sugar beet. They'd be shot on sight. But as the day wore on, he found he was emboldened against his captors. He slipped his arms out of his pajamas and he tied the ends of each of the pajama arms, and he filled each arm with sugar beets. He managed to slip back to the barracks undetected until it was night. At lights out, he silently handed out sugar beets to all of the starving prisoners he could find. It was said he both saved physical lives that night and offered hope where there had been no hope. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Hope in despair, whistling in the darkness, that is the kind of blessing that we are called to offer to one another and to ourselves. It's the same place that we find ourselves surprised as our children, our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren discover God. Those who do handstands more easily than perhaps the rest of us are open when God shows up in the most unexpected of places. They see God's fingerprints all over creation and in the ways that we care kindly for one another. Barbara Brown Taylor says it this way: upside down, you begin to see God's blessed ones in places it would never occur to you to look. You begin to see the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, not just as people you can help, but people who can help you, if you will let them, that their hunger and thirst for God are not voids to be filled, but appetites to be envied. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If I return to my inquiry of how are they, the ones who answered with "I am blessed," I find myself hoping that they're right, hoping that they're living out their lives in such a way that they're set apart for how they live their faith, hoping they will share those glimpses of God in unexpected places with all the rest of us as well, hoping that they will instinctively share CPR where needed, smuggle sugar beets in their pajamas, and see God from a handstand if they manage to get there. Our invitation the one we have today and forever, is to join them in being blessed, to be a blessing. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.